Hey y'all, it's Rachel from Smarter Teaching, here to share a latte and give you all the tools you'll need to work smarter, not harder, in your classroom. Hi teachers, it's been a minute. I had a totally different episode drafted and ready to go for you in November, but my parents were here visiting for the entire month, so it kind of went by the wayside. We live really far away from my parents, and so it was important for me to focus on their visit for the month that they were here. We took some great trips, we had a really great time, but now they're gone. They literally just left like 3 hours ago, and I'm ready to finish 2019 and start 2020 on a mission to help teachers just like you feel balanced without ignoring the things that need to be done. Today, I'm planning to talk about report cards, which probably seems kind of weird because this isn't really a report card time of year. But I'm sharing this information now so that you can get started with some of these strategies so you're prepared for next quarter. Also, guys, before we dive into this content, can we just take a second to talk about the true injustice of a Friday the 13th in December? What a giant screw you from the universe. Like, 1 week before winter break when everybody is like totally hyped up for winter, for holidays, for whatever. A Friday the 13th. That just truly feels like it should not be permitted. Okay, so now that we've all talked about that and we're all on the same page, here is the loose outline of what I'm going to talk to you about today with regard to report cards. Basically, what I ultimately want you to do is develop a plan to dominate your grading. Because if you're handling your grading on a consistent basis, report cards basically become just kind of a pesky nuisance instead of this massive life-consuming project. Okay, guys, here are my 5 tips to help you totally own grading and report cards. I'm going to tell you all the tips, then I'm going to loop back and elaborate a little bit more on each tip. So the 5 tips are grade during the quarter, block time to grade, plan your grades ahead of time, give meaningful comments, and finish before the deadline. Okay, so grade during the quarter. This probably sounds kind of obvious, but basically what I mean here is don't leave all of your grading until report card time. I think that this is more of a trap for middle and high school teachers, but I've honestly never taught high school before, so what do I know about that? But I think that it can be tempting for elementary teachers as well. It's really important that we're consistently grading throughout the quarter so that we have enough grades to give a good picture of our students' knowledge during that quarter. It's not really a good picture if we have 10 grades from the last 3 weeks of the quarter and none from the beginning. So if we grade throughout the quarter consistently, then we have a really good picture of each student's mastery, of each student's knowledge, and their progress throughout the quarter. I think that one really helpful way to accomplish grading throughout the quarter is to set a weekly grading goal, either personally for your own self or as a team. Whether your goal is to return tests within 3 days, to grade 2 assignments each week, or maybe it's to update grades every other Wednesday, like if you use an online grading system, setting a goal and sticking to it helps spread your grading throughout the whole quarter. It also, if you use an online grading system, has the added benefit of keeping parents updated throughout the quarter so that there are fewer surprises when report cards do ultimately go home. My second tip is to block time to grade. If you've been following me for any amount of time, you know that I feel pretty strongly about using your planning time to plan. I suggest blocking at least 1 planning period a week for grading, and here's why. First, you'll actually be grading each week, which is what we just said one of the 5 tips is. Secondly, you won't have to take grading home. And thirdly, it makes returning assignments to your students super, super easy. I personally prefer to grade on Thursdays or Fridays, but really you could achieve the same effect on any day of the week. On occasion, say like the end of a writing unit or something like that, I might have had a little extra grading than I could handle during my planning period. But generally, grading during my planning allowed me to keep up on grades and almost eliminated the need for me to take grading home in the evenings or on the weekends. So by blocking this time to grade, you're consistently having a thumb on what your students are doing. It also eliminates one student, for example, missing a ton of assignments. Because if you're routinely grading, you'll notice that trend much before the end of the quarter when you can address it proactively instead of retroactively. Third, plan your grades ahead of time. What I mean by this is that we need a variety of grades to really give a good picture of the progress that kids are making and the things that they know. So by planning what you're grading, it helps give a full picture. Because if we end up with too many grades of one type, so for example, like a ton of math grades from the chapter you covered on multiplication, and a kid struggled with multiplication, but not say with something else like place value or fractions that you covered in that same quarter, then their grade is skewed. And we also don't want to skew for either effort for like content, like mastery or content over effort or participation. I think that effort grades / participation grades are helpful in the sense that if there is a student who's really struggling but is also putting in effort, they are trying, they are participating, then those grades can keep them solvent. But we don't want all effort grades, because then obviously their grade, like students' grades, aren't teaching us anything about their level of mastery or what they've learned. So if you plan your grades, maybe you plan to take, for a unit of math, you plan to take exit tickets 3 times a week. Or maybe you use foundations for phonics and you're going to do a weekly check-in in addition to the unit test, and that will be an ELA grade. I'm saying what you should do is make sure that you have a balance of different types of grades for students. It gives you a better sense of what students need. It gives you a better sense of what students are achieving. It gives you a better sense of what they're mastering, where they're struggling. And it also lets you troubleshoot students who might be in some way like falling out of line or missing a bunch of assignments or something like that. My next tip is give meaningful comments. So this is obviously a specific report card tip, not necessarily planning for your report cards, but I think that sometimes there's a feeling about as teachers that we can't say the things that we're thinking about kids. And I think that we should say those things like nicely and politely, right? Especially if it is something that parents or children need to know about, so that maybe they can remedy it for the future. Most of my experience lies in early elementary teaching. So I'm thinking of things like students who are disorganized or impulsive. Like those are things that I always felt like, especially impulsive students, you kind of want to say nice. You kind of feel sometimes like maybe you don't want to address that with parents, or you're not sure how to address it nicely, or it's really frustrating and you're so frustrated by the time you're writing report cards that you've been dealing with this student for 6 or 12 or 18 weeks that you are having a hard time thinking of like a nice and constructive way to say it. But I think that it's important that we're saying those things to students and parents so that we can help them either find a replacement behavior, come up with a strategy to help it be less problematic down the road. I'm just thinking about students who in kindergarten, in first grade, in second grade, who are disorganized and impulsive, and things that we can, parents don't see 20 children of, they don't have the same frame of reference is what I'm trying to say. Parents don't see their kid in comparison to a group of grade level or age level peers. And so sometimes parents aren't aware that what their child is doing isn't normative behavior or isn't productive behavior. And so I think it's on us as teachers to point out those things to parents and say, this is what I'm seeing as your child's teacher, and this is neutral, it's potentially harmful, it has been problematic, and kind of help parents sort of see beyond their immediate lens of like, this is my child and they operate within our family. I think that we need to not shy away. I don't think that we need to be like unnecessarily critical of children or harsh, but I just think that, like I said, sometimes parents, unless I think most parents probably don't maybe notice that it's bothersome to like constantly tap a pencil or to constantly like be so disorganized that your things spread into the space of others. And I just think that sometimes pointing those out to parents is important, but also like furthermore giving them ideas on how they can help their students be more successful in the future is helpful. And obviously you cannot change every single thing about every single kid, but we can help students and parents be more aware of things. We can help them be more aware and potentially give them some alternative ideas. So I think that giving meaningful comments is really important, but it can also be very time consuming. So for comments, I suggest that you kind of plan backwards from the ultimate deadline of your of the report cards that are due, and then just kind of working backwards for maybe a few weeks ahead of that time and planning to either do 5 comments a week or 2 comments a day or whatever, however it is you want to do, so that you don't end up having to write comments for 25 or 30 kids 2 days before report cards are due. I mean, any way you shake that experience, someone's not getting meaningful comments in that scenario. So being intentional and deliberate with your comments, and then also making sure you're spacing them out but ahead of the deadline, I think are 2 ways to really help make sure that the comments you're adding onto report cards are meaningful for students and for families. My final tip is to finish before the deadline. And what I mean by this is, well, I mean, obviously finish before the deadline. There's not like a hidden meaning there. But I know I've worked in schools where you both still have like a physical paper report card, and also schools where you mainly do it online. And when you are working in a system where you're mainly doing it online, ultimately, everyone is kind of trying to get their report cards finished and submitted basically the day of the deadline or potentially a day before. So if you can plan and have your report cards due a little bit ahead of time, you're less likely to run into technological glitches, like you wrote all your report cards and then they didn't save, or you went to print and everything disappeared, or like 100 people were trying to upload their comments at the same time, and so it took like 2 hours. If you are finishing your report cards, finishing comments, uploading your final grades, report cards, whatever, outside of the time when the bulk of people are doing it, you're less likely to run into technological problems. So even though it's sort of a bear, it's really helpful in the long run if you just have your report cards finished like a day or two before the deadline. You can click submit. You can be completely 100% done. And I'm not saying you will certainly outrun any technological problems, but the likelihood is much higher if you're making sure that you are outside of that deadline where everyone in your building, in your district, in your, I don't know, campus is trying to get the report cards finished at the same time. So if you plan to finish a day or two ahead of the deadline, it has been my personal experience that technological glitches are much less likely, which in turn really eases your frustration level. I hope that you found these tips helpful. I hope that planning ahead and blocking time out can help make your report cards during the second quarter or trimester a little breezier. And I'm really looking forward to coming back to you guys in 2 weeks with some great book reviews. I had didn't get as much chance to read in November as I would have liked per the parental visit, but I have been reading some really good books lately, and I'm super excited to share them and review them with you. In the meantime, if you have any questions or if you have any tips you want to add, you could always reach me at smarter_teaching@rachelwilser.com. You can find me on Instagram at smarter_teaching, and you can find me on Facebook at smarterteaching. I would love to connect with you, help you out, and give you any tips. You can also find me on my physical website at rachelwilser.com. I'll see you all in a few weeks with some great book reviews.